gonna be cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guests. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously, have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Get ready to sit back, relax, and open your mind. Welcome to Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number nine of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. I am Chris Jordan, your host, and the host of the Dudes and Beer podcast as well. I'd like to thank everybody for the continued support over the last year or so. It's just over a year, I guess about 4 months, almost a year and a half now. Since the beginning of Dudes and Beer, and the support, the outpouring of support from family, friends, people on the internet, the continued listening audience has been fantastic for us. We have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm so glad to have started these Thinking Deeply episodes where we can really use that tagline of Dudes and Beer to its utmost, solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. This is the forum where I sit back as the host and kind of think about humanity and mankind and where we're going, what we're doing with ourselves first, because it really does start at home. It really does start within your own four walls as far as, what comes about, what is, in our lives, so little of our actual life is impacted by the world around us and brought about by our own self-manifestation. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today is that inner voice, yourself, learning to ground yourself, find yourself in this situation, in this world that we live in. And how to get to the point of listening to your inner voice. That is what we're going to talk about today whenever we get back from this message from our sponsor.
Hey, are you a musician? Do you play guitar, bass, or synthesizers? Are you a studio engineer looking for that different sound? Well, fret no longer. Austin Hot Mods is there for you. From Boss to Ibanez, DOD to EHX and more, Austin Hot Mods provides over 50 different modifications and customizations to some of the most popular guitar pedals on the market, from vintage to modern. So if you're looking for that boutique custom sound on a Craigslist budget, look no further. Contact Austin Hot Mods today and mention that you heard it here on the Dudes and Beer podcast for 5% off your first guitar pedal modification. Visit them online at austinhotmods.com. Texas owned and operated and home of the Mod of the Month deal. That website again is austinhotmods.com.
And we are back. The topic for the day is learning to listen to your inner voice. And, a lot of us have really, really bad inner voices. And that's a sad thing. It's a horrible thing. I myself, And there's a difference, people, between your inner voice and your inner critic, okay? Your inner critic is your own worst enemy, quite honestly. Your inner critic is the one that tells you, think about it in terms of the left shoulder, right shoulder angels, all right? Your inner critic is the voice that tells you that, you're not good enough for that. you don't deserve to be happy in life. Nobody's happy in life. What's happy anyway? You know, your inner critic is the voice that prevents you from achieving potential. It is the voice that keeps you from actually moving forward with dreams, goals, and ambitions. Your inner voice is the right shoulder angel. It's the one that's like, go get 'em, buddy. Your inner voice will never lead you into anything bad. All right. And there's a feeling that's associated with both of those. Okay. There's a feeling that can be associated with the inner voice and the inner critic. And we will move into that in a little while. But by inner voice, I mean the voice that is telling you that you should follow a path, that you should do something, that you should make something happen. And that is such an important thing to have in life for everybody, it's not something that we can take lightly, I think, because we have to have direction as a person. There are people that move aimlessly through life. There are people who do not have goals, ambitions, things like that. And I guess you can do that. I don't personally live that way. I know my wife doesn't live that way. And that's a huge, big reason why I married my wife, is because she was someone who, much like I did, had a full-time job and had dreams and ambitions. She was busy taking classes and learning to teach comedy and stuff like that. Had a degree in theater, but was learning to teach comedy, and something inside of her just drove her to that. Once she taught it, she absolutely loved it and was addicted to it. And I remember that. I remember myself. And that's a lot of why I started these episodes and why I started this show, was because I miss teaching. I miss the active debate. I miss the being in the trenches of thinking, so to speak. And because so much of my job is not thinking, quite honestly, it's automated response reaction, you know, it's trained muscular response with your ears and hands as to what to do when a problem arises or what to do to make a show happen. That's trained response to be able to be at the point where you can make a show happen at any time. That's nothing, but she followed her inner voice. And there will be times when that inner voice presents itself, when it kind of screams loud and clear. And I remember mine. I remember the day that mine screamed loud and clear, as far as what I was supposed to be doing. And, you know, typically the world kind of throws you for a loop when it happens. But, you know, following your inner voice is doing the things that you love doing the things that make a difference to you. For my wife, it was comedy. For me, it was music. And it was running sound and mixing audio and doing stuff like that. I just spent the other day with my good friend and friend of the podcast, Tom Metz, doing some tracking for his website of some pieces that he'd written and stuff like that. And, you know, like, I love working one-on-one with musicians. I don't know if I could be a full-on studio engineer all the time, but working one-on-one with musicians that I know and appreciate and are my friends, like, I love doing that. And I was telling my wife in the grocery store the other day, as we were walking, you know, the song Taking Care of Business came on. And I was like, look, that's my song. That's about me right there. And she's like, you are actually one of the hardest working people I know. Like, you're out on the road for 2 weeks at a time working 12-hour days, you know, and then you come home and you're still running two podcasts and you're designing websites and recording people and, you know, and I was like, yeah, but not a bit of that is work for me. I love every minute of that. Sure, sometimes work is grueling because, hey, it's work, quote unquote, but, you know, it's not a job. It's not something that I'm going and doing for somebody else every day and just doing it because it brings in a paycheck. I do it because I love doing it. And I remember the day that my inner voice spoke and presented me with the opportunity for live sound. And that was with Alan Cunningham. He was the one that really, and he's been on the Talking Sound podcast a few times. He's actually was on our second Meekum, our first live episode ever, live from Meekum in Houston. He was actually a guest on that, a guest host. And, you know, he was the one that actually kind of presented himself as like, I would like to train you to run live sound. And I knew some stuff, I knew a few things and stuff like that, but he really taught me the ins and outs of, you know, live sound production and building a mix and doing that kind of stuff, and really kind of took my knowledge that was good, but took it to the next level and challenged me to take it to the next level and really changed the way that I produced things and stuff like that. And it took me listening to my inner voice and to define that for y'all, to define that inner voice for y'all. It's that small tug in your tummy whenever you're in a situation, all right? Like I said, you learn to identify the feeling. And the feeling of it, for me at least, is not quite a queasy, but kind of a rumble in my stomach and a pull right up around my navel, right near my diaphragm, where it's like something tugging. And it's like, hey, you know, I've learned to recognize that as something moving around me, me being present at a crest of a wave, you know, and you can feel that whenever you go out in the ocean. You know, you can feel the wave coming, like you can feel the suction and the force of it before it gets to you. And it's the same thing in the world. Like you can learn to feel that, and you can learn to feel those moments that lead you somewhere and lead you down a path. And it's a great thing whenever you learn to recognize that, whenever you learn to see that. Because it really does put you in the mindset to think about it more regularly. Because it's something that we have to think about regularly. It's something that we have to give credence to on a regular basis. The voice inside of us is probably, in my book, the most important thing in the world. And you can equate it to God, you can equate it to a lot of things, but for me, the voice inside of me is my filter. It's what I use to decide whether or not to say something. You know, my inner voice is kind of like filtering what I'm going to say. And hey, you know, if I would find that hurtful or harmful, I don't say it. You know, say what you mean what you say, and don't say things that are mean. to take that one step further. So, and the inner voice is, for me, the idea that, we choose to be guided. We choose a path. And, you know, much like Rush said, whether you choose to decide or not, you've still made a choice. So you can choose to listen to the voice or see the voice or not. That's your choice. I choose to see it, and I've noticed that my life is a whole lot better since I started listening to it. And I heard it for years and ignored it because it wasn't what I thought was right. It wasn't within the square box definition of what I was told was right. It wasn't what I was told was supposed to be right. You know, prime example was I learned a lot about camera work and things like that when I worked for a place called Artistic Video Productions. And shout out to my friend with his podcast out there, Joe Perez, with the Texas Travels podcast. He's got so much out there going on that he was actually the guy that taught me to edit video digitally. I had Greg, who taught me on one side to edit deck to deck analog video, and Joe, who taught me the digital realm. And that was a job. That was a straight job. I did not, like, as much as I loved learning it and doing it and everything else, like, I was miserable there every day because of my surroundings and not the people I worked with, but mainly my boss and the concept of the company was just ugh to me. And I didn't, because I didn't believe in it, even though it was within my industry, it was not the right place to be. And even when I worked broadcast, you know, it was the same thing. And when it happened and when I left, it really settled well with me because that's not what I was supposed to be doing. It was partially the little voice inside of me. But at the same time, it was like I had to compromise some things in order to do that. And I didn't feel right about it all the time. For me now being back in the freelance world, I listen to my little voice all the time. And hey, I choose whether or not to take gigs according to that little voice. If it's somebody that I don't like working with or that puts me in a bad way whenever I'm at work, you know, that just honestly isn't even worth the hassle at this point in life. I have a kid on the way, but I still don't take every gig that comes along. You know, it doesn't behoove me to. It's not a good idea to. Sometimes you know that the gig's going to be a nightmare and it's going to be bad and it's going to go bad. And unfortunately, like, do you really want to be a part of that? Do you really want to be a part of something that's going to feed negativity into the world, you know, and make you feel badly about what you do on a regular basis? And I can't be a part of that. I can't be a part of that. Because my voice tells me that what I'm doing is right and I love what I'm doing. And if I love what I'm doing, why would I be miserable doing it? So, I fortunately have a wife that understands that and that gets that. Not everybody is, fortunate in that way, but we have to the best of our abilities, learn not to compromise our inner voice. We have to learn not to crush those dreams and ambitions. And when you feel those moments that you can do it, Texas Chronicles, I'm sorry, Joe Perez, Texas Chronicles is the name of Joe Perez's show. I just saw the logo in my head. When you feel that pull, when you feel that tug towards something, you need to at least give it some credence, you know. You need to at least give it some exploration. And, like, had I not followed that tug, had I not considered what I do now as a path and a career, you know, I don't know what I would have done. Quite honestly, I would probably still be working like temp jobs and things like that. You know, like I always worked in kitchens. I always had some kind of job. But until I defined myself as an audio engineer one day, someone asked me what I did, and I was like, oh, you know, I run sound and stuff like that, but during the day I work at IDEX. It was like, oh, crap. I didn't just define myself by what I do 8 hours a day. I defined myself by what I do 5 hours a night. And that was a mental switch for me. That was like, wow, I actually learned to listen there for a minute. And at that point, I really defined myself in a different way, and my jobs were a means to an end at that point. They, anything I was looking for, like I said, I worked in broadcast and stuff like that, because it was in my field. It was in my field, you know, it's what I love doing. So if I'm going to have a job and have to compromise anything, the only thing I'm going to compromise is what my hands are doing. You know, I've had jobs where, you know, I busted tires, pumped gas and changed oil and cleaned an auto shop in Maine. You know, and I've had jobs where I cooked. You know, that was always probably my go-to was cooking, because I actually enjoy cooking. I like it. And if I'm in a good kitchen with good people, I'll work all day long and love it. But it's not my passion. It's not what I want to do on the daily. You know, there's some sweat involved with that. There's sweat involved in what I do on the daily also. But I love what I do so passionately that hours fly by. You know, it's not like I'm sitting there like I was when I was editing video at Artistic and just watching the hours creep by in the bottom right-hand window of a screen like, oh, my God, I want to be just out of here and being miserable all the time. And I don't know. I guess I got to a point where it actually happened one day that I had come home. Whenever I took the job at the auto shop, they knew that I had an airline ticket purchased for a wedding in the spring, and whenever I came back from that wedding for a few weeks before, we had like almost no gas in the pumps, like things were bad business wise and I came back and I had no job. I was let go, and things ensued after that. But to make a long story short, I literally, the first thing I said was, well, my rent is paid for a month. My bills are paid for a month already. I took care of that before I left. Wow. You know, if I start getting to work now, like I already mix at a couple clubs a week, you know, I could easily find some bands that I work with and become their full-time sound guy and, you know, start selling my live recordings. And I just kind of quick shot through something together, and the next month I had paid my bills doing nothing but audio. Whether it was working with bands that had asked me before and I always had a day job and I was like, nope, sorry, can't do it, man. I gotta, you know, I'd love to, but the gigs don't add up enough. And then it was really more the concept of, well, if I have this small gig one night and this small gig another night and this small gig another, you know, between that over 30 days, I could really cobble something together. And that's what happened. I went out and I sold live recordings to people, and got permission from clubs to come in and record and would, help out, sell live recordings to people. And, that's what started my business, was doing that stuff. And it was literally just that moment of opportunity and being open to that tug in my stomach that felt it happen and was like, hey, man, you know, you you've always said all you would need is the time. All you would need is the time to get your business together. You ain't got nothing but time now. You got no choice. You can either sink or you can swim right now. And, well, I at least started dog paddling, and before I knew it, was swimming fairly well and had a couple of years under my belt of self-employment in Maine, and then moved back home and relocated my business to Houston and eventually moved here to Austin to be with my fiance and got married. And now I've been in the Austin market for about 5 years and things have finally sussed out. And it's great, but you've got to have those moments of trust. You've got to learn to release some of the control and to understand that you have a guiding force within you. You don't have to call it God or anything like that because it's yours technically, okay? If you want to call it God, that's fine, whatever. I'm not going to go that way because I don't like to get religious on people. I could very easily get religious on people. I try to put things into a light that is really a little more, I guess the only way to put it is worldly, where everybody can get it. And everybody has these feelings. Everybody has that feeling of doubt. Like I said, the left shoulder, the self-critic, the one that says, I'm not worthy of this. The one that says, you know, I'm not worthy of a good relationship, you know, that consistently puts negativity out there. The inner voice is the one that says, I am worthy of being loved and I love myself. Wow, what a concept. To actually love yourself, to actually love yourself enough to allow yourself to be happy. You know, how much do we fight for other people's happiness in this world when really what we need to do is be happy ourselves? And that will beget happiness for other people. That will bring and show the example of how to be happy. Once we've talked about that before on this show and on Dudes and Beer, that once you get the idea, it's very easy to be the example at that point. And it's not a whole lot of effort to kind of rewire yourself to thinking this way and to being this way on a regular basis. We'll do an episode about, you know, positivity and the concept of positivity and the power of positive thinking, that kind of stuff. But this episode in particular is about learning to ignore that inner critic and learning to listen to the inner voice, the one that wants you to be happy, the one that wants you to do good things in the world for other people, with other people, because of other people. You know, we aren't supposed to want to do good because it does good for us. We're supposed to want to do good just because it's good. Just because it's good. And when you get that, you get to the point where you want to do what makes you happy because it's good. Because it's a good thing. Because you do deserve it. And I remember the day that my wife had the same moment that I did, where she literally was just let go from a job that she had worked at for years, like since I'd known her, and, you know, at least a couple years had worked there, and was doing her theater stuff and everything else and teaching like a class a week, all that kind of stuff. And I had just moved in and had just started on broadcast. And she came home one day and was like, don't be angry, but I was let go from work today. And I was like, okay, great. And she's like, I really thought that you would be more angry. I was like, well, you know, sure, I'm going to miss the money. We'll miss the money. Fortunately, right now, my job pays the rent and bills, you know, so anything you were making was absolutely positive for us and great. But I was like, I'd much rather you be doing your theater stuff and be happy all the time than be going to a job that drags you down half the day, where you deal with half the people that just drag you down, and then you go out and try to be happy at night. So, yeah, at that point, her life became full-time theater, and much, much better quality of life for everybody involved, because we both do what we love to do. And it's because we listen to that inner voice, you know, like, I had no doubt in my mind. For her, it was the moment of question, the moment of decision between inner voice and her inner critic, you know, because she had never really considered that as the possibility, you know. Her immediate thought was, oh, I'll go work at a hotel again or something like that. And my immediate thought was, good Lord, why would you do that? Here is your golden opportunity to do nothing but what you are called to do on a daily basis. Do that. Put as much energy into that as you did for those other people 8-9 hours a day. And you'll be surprised what happens within 6 months. Literally. If you think about the conglomerate amount of energy that you spend being miserable somewhere, and I challenge any single person out there. I understand that it's tough when you have children, things like that, to make these changes, to make these leaps, things like that. It's much easier for the single person. But I would challenge anybody out there to try it. Try it. If you work 40 hours a week, spend 20 hours a week working on something that you love doing. Spend half that amount of energy on something that you love doing and see if you don't feel that pull. See if you don't see it happen, because I guarantee you, once you start putting in half the amount of energy into something that you love as half the amount of if you put half the amount of energy into something that you love, as opposed to 100% of your energy into something that you were miserable doing, you'll be surprised with the results. Eventually you will get to the point that you'll see the equation, you'll see the reality start to fall away, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, it's possible. You can actually find something that makes you happy and do it. So for me, the inner voice is something that will only lead to good things. The inner critic is the bad stuff. The inner voice is the good stuff. And I've learned to find that inner voice, those little moments of tug in my belly that kind of lead me to the right place, that guide me in business, that guide me in life. And to me, I think that's probably one of the most important lessons I've learned in life, is to silence the inner critic, to learn to nurture that inner voice that does tell you to keep going, to do something good, to keep a project up, to believe in it. You started something, keep it going. You're the only one that sometimes puts the wind in your sail, puts the momentum behind a project. And sometimes that's what it takes. You know, sometimes it is you. Sometimes you are the changing factor. And the fact is, in your own life, you are the changing factor. You are the ultimate decider. You are the ultimate decider of what is and is not allowed in your reality. So when you think about that, your inner voice takes on a whole new realm of responsibility. Like I said, I deeply believe in the inner voice because of my sense of responsibility to myself and the world around me. So on that note, I try to pay attention to my inner voice, like I said, because of my connection to the world around me. I think that I do affect the immediate world around me, and my intention to be good to people, my intention to be good at what I do for other people so that it puts other people at ease and makes other people feel good about what they're doing, is what makes the ripple that makes the bigger wave later, you know. And it is my contribution to what I believe is a good world. You know, a lot of people look at our world right now and see not a lot of hope, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you're the one that gives or does not give hope. The world can't do that for you. The world cannot do that for you. That's asking way too much of the world. You know, you have to be the inner voice. You have to be the one to make the decision as to what you think, as to how you think. And that's the most important lesson that we can learn, is how to think, and how to think better about each other, how to think better about ourselves, how to think better for each other, and think better for ourselves. So on that note, everybody, that's what I have to say about the inner voice. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this in more depth in later episodes, but until then, thanks so much for listening. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Tune in next time for more deep introspection, contemplative thought, and general musings on humanity and life, right here on Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Like what you heard? Feel free to tune into the other content by Dudes and Beer on dudesandbeer.com. Our content is also available on the Spreaker Market, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast app. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.